We have to start the meeting today, as far as I know, is just introductory meeting. Just to set the scene of what we are going to be doing in the next 6 months between the two houses. Parliamentary rules. And they will know those of us who have gone through the National Assembly rules in the tedious process. It's not something that we do today and go and sleep and come back tomorrow, make a lot of noise and voice. We are not interested in generalizing that at all. They will know it's a lot of work, a lot of reading, a lot of research, and hopefully the colleagues that are going to be giving us support, they will be very dear to me. That's when we go like, well, research document I presented, members of parliament, because these are two houses in France. They are also invited, those who want to make an input, who can present themselves before the subcommittee of the joint rules. And then I hope that Madam Chair, we then have colleagues who are going to be given a set time. Because if they will come when they like, if they don't come and they don't like, it causes problems. We can enable them to finalize the hopefully that we are going to be constructive in sure the parliament has been in existence since 1996. Parliament. And therefore, there will be no reason why we can't learn from other experiences in other parliaments all over the world. This is a comprehensive review of the rules, not just people here and there. And then we have to review the rules 21 years from there. I'm sure we are more informed now than ever before. I think we are better parliamentarians now. We are better parliamentarians now. When we came in, we didn't know many of these things, but I think now we know exactly what parliament should be doing and what not to do. Then we should be able then to work. And then as I see, it's a multi-party subcommittee, as far as I know. It's a multi-party committee. And therefore, we always try to allow every person to express his views, make presentation on behalf of their houses, make a presentation in terms of their parties. We always be open-minded in approaching this. And hopefully the colleagues will have sufficient time to complete our work and present it to a joint rules committee from the joint rules committee to the chamber. Or the chamber, if they agree, they are ready. Hopefully then we'll have the joint rules as revised by the chamber. I know that members of parliament are still busy all of them, but I think we should try our level best to conclude our work as soon as possible. Just to ensure that we don't end up with a work that is not completed for the next 3 years. We'll do our level best for this situation. Madam Chair, maybe we should call this meeting. Just to read the names of people who support and then just for us to know.
I'm told that
sometimes I use this way to honor members and comrades in the same business. And I tried for the last 21 years to avoid doing that, but doesn't stop. And I think I always call him Congress for many other reasons. I hope I won't offend you. Informally,
yeah.
That's the one that's called that.
He looks honorable, sir.
Honorable Congress. And then it's not issue on our phone. And then, but I do think that Kukat is the line. And then, Chacha Tekora just finished the data. Who are the people here? Is Boeing part of the team?
No, she's like, I got a name from the treaty of the other psychologists in the room, and you see.
I think also the National Assembly, we must just delete some of the names on our team, or mislead them, the team of the NSOP. And then a lot of people there, I know that Kono was part of it in the beginning, a lot of colleagues. But also you know that the deputy chief with the secretary is always interested to get to attend all these meetings. Let's make note available to her for this meeting. No, but the point is that though we should have people who are properly nominated. Just avoid in future a person comes in and say, but I'm here, I'm not sure why I'm here. We know that we've taken a bill in the National Assembly. That members who want to attend are free to come and attend. We believe that not hard. Those who are interested to learn about the rules. I think we must update it to the citizen. Just to ensure the marina is up. And there are people that are supposed to come, but you know better than myself. They never attended the same meeting was removed. That's what these people are going to be waiting, and that's really difficult. We just follow up and then make it out of that. And I think we're going to be replaced. And I'm not sure whether an NA member can be represented by a member in the NSOP. Because we must have a voice on place. Seeing is representing National Assembly, can't say Honorable Kaul that represents him. At the party level, I think would arise, but not in terms of the House. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, thank you. I also raised my hand because obviously established that my status here. Am I here as MPOP or is it as the legal say? Because if it's as the legal say, then I think there is wrong.
And then Usin is taking shortcuts. And then it's sort of confused, you end up not knowing which house you represent, and then it can also cause problem for you, I guess. But politically, I think, of course, you know that. It's not easily confused. Well, this thing can be very difficult. Even the person they came, but nowadays they got confused easily. And the agenda is in front of us. The meeting has to end at 10, because it's 10 so-called party caucus. And then it's an introductory meeting really to stand through and then see what is it that we are seeing. And there's a draft agenda that is presented for your consideration. adding the two services, mats. You want to take us through that agenda? Naturally, the chairperson should be taking you through that agenda. But I know that they have not met themselves. So that is the question.
Yeah, the draft agenda, this is
that we will be considering, or is this the start on a comprehensive full review process? Just
as far as I know, is that we are completely ruled by a rule from chapter 1 to chapter 5. That is my understanding. There will be other rules that are subjected for that the team. And this one is about what is the first way it is going to be easy. It is a comprehensive review while at the NA one that's going to take a long time. And then, Marina.
Frank, maybe I can just, the two reports, the one from the Botanic Committee on the State and the Portfolio Committee on the State, were referred to this committee by the Joint Force Committee. It is a report adopted by the House and Forefathers, by the NA. But it's agreed at the Joint Rules Committee that it would come to this committee because it's considered the Joint Committee. The issue there is the overlap in the mandate between the two committees. And this is a matter that's been ongoing, it's been coming for years now. We've already done the adjustment to the membership of the Joint Planning Committee on Defence. That's what they wrote at the start of this parliament, to make it more functional, to make it smaller and more functional. That's the issue in front of the room. The defense review, the committee that's suggesting in that the House is now, as far as I know, I'm not sure if they can say that, but the defense review, but that committee was rejected by the House. They said things must stay as they are, except that we need to look at the mandate of the two committees so that there's an overlap. See, and make the rules clear on that. That's basically what the report of the committee boils down to. The other committee was, the other report is run by the Constitutional Review Committee, which was also adopted by the Houses in the fourth Parliament, and came to the committee through the Joint JRC and legacy issue. And they were proposing certain things which need to be discussed. For example, they want to deal with legislation, for example, things that they don't do at the moment. But they're proposing that. They will say stuff that needs to be, that this committee will look at, and then appoint the Rules Committee on the Joint Force.
I'm just trying to get the extra if the brief of the committee just to consider those matters that are referred to it, there is a thing that is good. If the brief of the committee is to review the joint rules is the same thing. Because unless the brief is clear, the National Assembly is very clear on the whatever we call detailed review of the rules or substantive review of the rules. If this one really about the matter that I referred to is it because the two issues that I referred to this committee general. Will the public participation money is the issue that is there? will be this kind of trying committees, and then will be 1 month, I think, will be sufficient. That's what we are supposed to do. Because the sixth edition was amended in 2011, recently amended. But also they don't have P-1994 in the marina. There's no P-1994 in front of the parliament. They started 1996. The National Assembly one, that's a problem that started below beyond 1994. It just must be clear that what we're supposed to do, because if the brief is not as clear as all of us understood it, I think it's a problem. If we just take all the issues that have happened already identified that are referred to us, the better if we do that. And then not again a long process of detailed review of the rules, but I just want to consume very much time for it. I thought that it was really hard to limit it to those areas that are referred to us by the joint rules to look at. But
the more you talk, the more I get more confused. Who is the one that authorizes? Because if you say, in terms of the NA Parliament then gave the mandate to go and review the rules, here is a joint sitting of, so that they can be clarified that who really gave people the mandate to start the work. And then so that being up towards the chair is beginning to the real mandate of the of this particular committee, where it does come from, and what is being expected to that. Yes. So that again, we don't end up sitting around trying to work out a mandate, and midway, somebody comes back and says, that's not what is being expected of you. That's the most embarrassing part.
Thank you, if I may. I've taken a stand on your end, the rule at least. I saw a letter from both principals of parliament, Honorable Mbeki and Honorable Mbeki. I did not memorize the content of that letter. But my understanding is that they are asking us through the marathon. I think our task is the very marathon we wish we wouldn't go through reviewing the joint rules. And as I do now, this letter from Iga and Chairperson of Council, what is it?
I think when you started with the NA review, the idea was that once the NCC review and our review has been completed, there will be consequential rule amendments, which will then be dealt with. We have some issues to deal with, but these are issues that were formally referred at the start of the first parliament to the Joint Commission on Review. So these are the issues that I've brought up to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, well, it's let us go. Then the agenda is presented for your consideration. Welcome on Abu Nashir and on Abu Nyandwe. It will be considered the agenda. Any of you? Let's go.
Now I need to move for adoption of the agenda.
Honorable Board, move for adoption of the agenda. Honorable Kaula, second. The agenda group and second. Let's go through item 3 on our agenda. Discussion on the draft rules for the establishment of a fund mechanism, the joint of the promotion, Financial Management Act of Parliament and NMS 2014. Discussion on the way forward in the sphere of legacy issues, report on mandate of joint committee on defense, report on mandate functions and how functional of the commission, interim joint commissions and scrutiny of delegated legislation, and better business, those are areas. Three big areas that are presented for this for our consideration. And actually today I want anything except introduction. And again, Marina, take a view though that the National Assembly Spirit is that those who have started this report must appear before the Council of Behavior. That people who have started the report, they must appear here, the Member of Parliament must be allowed platform to come and take actions. In order for us to be informed, not by reading the report, by people who started the report, it's much more easy to do that way. And I know that it seems I think we should do that. You always know these are issues on agenda, and then this team of one or two or three persons come before the committee, they make presentation. It's much more easier. You work on the informed position rather than waiting the trials, and then we're able to know exactly what the logic of what you're going to do. I think we should continue doing that. It's much, much more easier to do. This is what is there. Okay. Can you look at it?
So on the issue of the oversight mechanism, there was a 46 political amendment which said we supported 2010. So members will be aware that in the previous version of the Financial Management of Parliament Act, there was a requirement for an oversight mechanism to be established to which the annual report and the financial issues of Parliament will be referred for consideration. Now, initially the Act excluded the executive authority, which was the two presiding officers, the Speaker and the Deputy of the Deputy. We drafted this particular rules, which would have established a joint committee on the financial management of the Parliament, and that was presented to the peers, but there was then a political decision taken that it wouldn't be presented to JRC, because they wanted to first revisit the Act, which they have subsequently done. And there have been amendments to the Act. But if you look at the current version, or the amendment to Section 4 of the Act, it now gives a discretion as to whether the executive authority will be part of the mechanism or not. And is the only determination that we have to include now is the fact that no member of Parliament may attend a deliberation on the matter in which that member has a material interest. So that is the one issue that we have to include. I want them to say that it is a political agreement that the rules that are drafted for that oversight mechanism is actually, if there is a desire to establish a good committee for financial management, the Parliament, these rules will do is adopted broadly. As you know, we didn't include all the fine detail of the Act because that's already included in the Act. So it's in the style of the rules as they are at the moment. And the only thing we would need to add to the composition is that it's requirement that no member that who has a material interest may be allowed to attend deliberations on this matter. So that would have been included under the composition of the body. I don't know whether you want me to just quickly have a look at the rules that we've drawn for that one. Firstly, we start with the establishment of the committee, which says there is a joint standing committee on the financial management of the Parliament, established in terms of Section 4 of the Financial Management of the Parliament Act. Then we say this committee...
No, Mama, I for that. Four members, they know which document.
Oh, sorry, first of all, the 2010, does everyone have...
That's important. Otherwise, members.
Everybody has that?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then the second one is talk to the composition of the committee. And it says that it consists of the number of members from the Assembly and from the Council, determined by the Joint Use Committee. Like we have any other of our committees, when we come at the beginning of a new parliament, we normally determine the number in terms of the composition of that particular parliament. We will determine the number from Assembly and from the NCOP component. Then, as I said, we need to add that supervisor now, which says that the member of parliament cannot attend the matter in which they have a material end. That will be in the part of the rule. Chairperson, the Joint Standing Committee with a co-chairperson, one from each house. The functions and powers, we say the Joint Standing Committee must A, maintain oversight over the financial management of Parliament, perform the functions and exercise the powers specified in the Financial Management of Parliament Act. Then the second part, the Assembly and Council may, by resolution, assign any other functions to the Joint Standing Committee within its area of competence. And then the Joint Standing Committee has general powers provided for in Joint Rules 52. So that the powers, you know, that that's the general committee for the considering those matters. The quorum, the Joint Standing Committee may proceed with business. In other words, we say they can, irrespective of the number of the present, they can proceed, but there might be a quorum present for decision. And then maybe we say a majority of the members from each House proponent constitutes quorum in this case. Decision, a question for the Joint Standing Committee decided with an agreement on the question between the majority of the members of the Assembly component and the majority of the members of the Council component. That's how decisions of this committee will be taken on the other side. As I said, the main thing is that under the functions and powers, we've written a broad rule to say to perform the functions and exercise the powers of the Financial Act, and then the Houses can assign additional
Okay. Honourable Paul, Honourable Cecilia.
I hear for the parliament when the two houses are constructing and working together. If it's like the Assembly and Council instead of the functions and powers, what are we referring to? Are we referring to Parliament that being constituted by two houses, or are we talking about separate? Okay, so why don't we put that emphasis on point two so that it becomes clear? You see, for me, the type of language that we use in the joint rules or in the joint sittings is something of importance. I don't know. I thought it's clear so that what we are trying to do in the National Assembly should be trying to be emphatic. The National Assembly's rules, it's not the Council's rules, but when they're together, they meet a formulation called Parliament. Yeah. I'm just trying to see if that sequence
can be. It's the style of the current rules, but it's different than the current. I mean, it's, at the moment, this is how other joint committees, you know, of the wording is that. But it's only how it is.
Chair, I think that's not covered with my member. Because I would actually support the combination as it is written. Just because mindful of the constitutional mandate of the two houses, and it is not exceptional, we must be very wary of international practices in relation to parliamentary operations, etc. There's a distinct difference between bicameral parliament where you have one House of Representatives and a House which is constituted from, from appointments through the different processes. Now, it differs in many parliaments in the world. But it is interesting when it comes to money matters that there is a specific function. Now, therefore, I would argue that the current composition or the combination, because it conforms to what the current rules, joint rules are also stipulating, because I need a cabinet with the composition of the other rules, I think it falls in line. However, Jay, my question is more related to can we understand what is. Why was there a decision initially to have the presiding officers not to be part of this oversight? Is it the same? Can we just have a bit of understanding? Because I think what is important here is just to understand what the problems are, if there are any constitutional problems or accountability problems or whatever, so that we can just be on the same page and understand why there was a sort of a delay and why the act had to be adjusted and how we should deal with this matter and what is international practice about this.
My name is Frank Jenkins, senior legal advisor in our legal section here in Parliament. The motivation to exclude the presiding officers at first has to do with governance principles and a possible conflict of interest. There are certain functions in the Act that is given to the executive authorities, the Speaker and Chairperson acting jointly. Those include giving instructions for the implementation of the Act, that's in Section 66, and it also includes giving directives with financial implications which might result in unauthorized expenditure. For instance, there's an exceptional event, an emergency situation, or something like that. Now, when the executive authority perform those sort of functions, they are accountable, of course, to their houses, but there's a requirement that they also refer their decisions in writing to the oversight mechanism when it looks at those sections. So the motivation then was that in that case they cannot be members of the oversight mechanism. But when you looked at the Act, and the real reason for the review, of course, was to bring the provinces under the financial regulatory framework set out in the Act based on the judgment of the Constitutional Court, which is provinces can't or do not have the legislative competency to pass their own financial management acts. So we amended the Act to bring them, but the resolution of the House also referred to these governance issues to look at that. Now, what we saw when we reviewed the Act in the committee, the Planning Committee on Finance, was that the Deputy Speaker and the Deputy Chairperson of NCFP are also excluded from being members of the Oversight Mechanism for reasons that are not clear in the Act, because they're not part of the Executive Authority. They can only act, but there's a blanket exclusion. So the debate was, should there be a blanket exclusion then, or should there be an exclusion when it matters? In other words, when we really address the matter, in other words, when there's a conflict of interest. Hence, that provisor in the Act which says that the joint rules must provide that no member, whether it's the member of the executive authority or deputy speaker or any other member, if they have a direct substantial interest, and this is something we have to set out in the rules, they cannot be part of that meeting of the oversight mechanism. And so if I might just indicate the reason why the committee also decided to include the executive authority and treat them as any member of parliament, because the oversight mechanism performs not only oversight over the financial management of parliament, in other words, after the fact, looking at the annual report, looking at monthly reports, looking at quarterly reports and midterm reports, but also look at the planning and budgeting of parliament. If one looks at section 17, I think it is, there's a requirement there where the draft of the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, and the budget, emphasize the draft must be referred to the oversight mechanism. It must be tabled in the House and referred to the oversight mechanism. Now, the only reason that can be is for the oversight mechanism, of course, to be input into these documents which constitutes the planning phase of Parliament's financial year, as well as its medium-term expenditure framework, because the strategic plan spans 5 years. So because of that planning function, on the one hand, and on the other hand, the accountability and the responsibility of the executive authority for that plan, it was important for the committee to make the amendment to say, well, in these instances, certainly there's a reason where the joint rules can say that the executive authority should be part of that meeting, because they're going to be accountable for it out of the end product of the end to implement the plan.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Unfortunately, I think that when this amendment of infrastructure S was done, I think that he participated in the, I remember properly, but I was convinced that cannot be fair and unwarranted to the staff for them to be and under normal circumstances that the working of the overtime can continue to deal with that report. Instead, I have to call the executive from the Department of State and therefore he displays the double role in the Chairperson, over and above that one, on the establishment of this particular board, I think we need to really debate among ourselves and see whether we agree in terms of the procedure. Because one understands that the composition of the board is needed in terms of certain numbers from the two houses. Would seek to put up a committee that is inclusive of the two houses. But then when the committee has been put together, then I really don't think that it's right for the committee to function in that committee in a two houses. The function must be, you know, when you finish establishing the committee members now must function as the unit. Take it into the committee. So therefore, that's why I'm just in this, just bringing a question mark, you know, it's one that the decision making I have about the decision is not comply with the laws of the because the very aspect starting with the division of the membership in terms of the outcome, even when even on operational level. And if we could just look at that, so that the committee becomes one after establishment and it functions as one and all members have rights as members in that committee, not being a member of the NCO in this committee, member of the NAA in the committee. And I think that was Marina indicated that the majority of the joint committee establishing that way. I think if there is a good thing that we are doing, then surely there will be nothing that will stop us from amending some of those particular so that we don't see the division at the operation level of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Machine. I think it's a good principle really that once the committee is established, it must function as a unit. And I don't know, I'm not a legal expert, I don't know whether that needs to be written somewhere in the rule. However, human nature being what it is, at times when people don't want processes to move forward, you have people absenting themselves so that nothing happens. I think that also must be taken care of. Second issue which I think legal experts must consider, the executing authority. I think we must have a system which enables parliament to function. What happens if one of the principals is sick? We are saying the deputies are not what empowered. I think the legal gurus must help us here. Phrase something in such a way that if one of the principals, or at times even both, are not able to perform, work must go on, life must go on. So I think that's just the improvement that we need to make. Honorable Hai, I think you can ask that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I would just like to close the point that was made by Honorable Hai. For me, the danger, the way you could have even more than one committee, but the reality is one committee is constituted by the two houses. There could be a danger where one house, on the basis that it is a committee, could continue deciding on their own rules. But also the matter of consistency with other joint committees. We have joint rules that rule all these committees. So we can therefore have a separate arrangement for this particular one. I'm saying that we should have consistency in terms of how this rules are functioning.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to say, I've just opened the page and I just saw rule 115, one of joint committees. And I just saw that they have exactly that. Joint committees are both. Decision questions before a joint committee is discussed, but it's dependent on the question between A, the assembly component, by a vote taken in terms of the assembly rules, because of the support for the etc. So it is, within the joint rules, there is recognition for the importance of both houses. Now, what is important here is precisely what my colleague has been saying, that you don't have a situation where some members of the NDOP, for instance, or alternatives in the NDOP are not there, and they're not on board. And in the end, the decision is taken, and they say, yes, but now we must spend that decision, you know, so that when there's a majority of the members of the relevant staff in the meeting, then the decisions can be passed. So I think that is a sound. It makes sure that there is enough binding from both houses also when they have to go back to their houses to report to their respective members what, you know, what the reason for a particular decision is.
Thank you, Chair. I'm an open-minded person, but I do feel that, you know, we have spoken to each other and we've known in practice that if we don't arrive at where we begin constituting parliament as being expected of by the constitution, we are going to run into trouble. And we are going to have a POA that exists on the basis of who goes to whatever happens. It becomes a loose book. And it doesn't have to be tried by the constitution exactly what is being expected of these institutions as well. That is very dangerous for me. After 21 years, we need to be able to reflect on what is being expected of us and what is it that we should do to be able to assist the country to move forward. So that the challenges that arises within practice of how we make decisions and how we begin to engage should be of benefit to assist in strengthening the constitution more than being spontaneous and continue the transition at the existing institution. The parliament when it's convenient, the joint committee where it's convenient, and nothing solid that is derived from law. So maybe it's important that the legal people reapply the manual proper, that what is it that we expected. Maybe the challenge of the chair is in how we constitute the committee itself. Is that what is it really mandate? You then want to respond spontaneously. But as long as you have not clarified those matters, that do you want to deal with the rules and do an overhaul of the rules and make them to be constitutional, you're going to work on spontaneity. That then emergency constitute the committee and the committee works on the basis of what is practice, doesn't work on the basis of what does the constitution expect and what should begin happening. Because as long as there's no parliament, we are going to see the problem of having this committee. I know the experience is in the Joint Committee on Defence, you see, the National Assembly there, why majority? And it seems to run for far front and the capacity that is being carried by the component of the National Council of Provinces. And it becomes more of a bigger problem when you deal with that type of legislative path, that what is the mandate of the provinces? You see, how do provinces relate to the national decisions, you see? So I'm quite aware and I'm quite liberal. You are going to step and walk in the same direction. But that practice in the Joint Standing Committee is that the National Assembly is the bigger brother of the National Council of Provinces. And it is this move in this direction, even on this particular one. If we don't clarify ourselves, what is it that we are looking for as legislators? And how do we make up a balance? Because you might want to say, as you sit across the road here, yeah, there's working relationship between the National Council of Provinces. But the National Council of Provinces also derives its mandate from provinces. Mm-hmm. And how provinces relate in terms of the constitution is a bit different. I'm just cautioning. I told my colleague that we will re-engage because I don't think it's a nice way of how we want to constitute this type of trade committee that based on spontaneity, not only the real practices that are taking place within the institution, if you want to create the parliament. But if you want to work on the old methods, you can work on the old methods of being spontaneous in our own residence.
Anyway, you emphasize saying that we abide by the constitution, but that's subject to interpretation,
yes.
And the engagement must be the time frame. Because really, we got to move our country forward. Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. I'm currently covered, but maybe a little bit of emphasis on the consistency of Filamon so that it must not have to change any the issue that was raised earlier on by Honorable Nyambi when I started speaking about now. Then the second issue is linked to what was raised by the Honorable Machine. The issue of quorum decision. I'm asking myself the question looking at the issue of quorum that the first point is that the Joint Standing Committee may proceed with business irrespective of the number of members present, but may decide the question only if a quorum is present. So I'm asking myself a question that even if in the meeting of a joint study committee, then you have two people from a national council of provinces, then they can be regarded as a joint study committee without the members of the NDA, then they can continue. Not unless there is a different interpretation. So, and the second one is if you check what was raised about the expectation that once we have a joint standing committee, expect them to be more of a unit than coming from different houses when they are, then saying the majority of members from each house, it's a recognition that you have people coming from these different houses. And I'm asking myself a question maybe that, Chair, if the two, the one of the decisions can rework in a way that will be simple for us so that all of us in reading it will have clear, right, and correct interpretation. It must not be left to any one of us to have their own interpretation. And of course, the expectation is to work, to have a joint committee working in a way that will show that it's a reflection of parliament as per the constitution. But of course, the police rules that are guiding us that from time to time we can always, if we feel we have to amend, we can do that. I'm just thinking the typical example of when we reach a city. The RSA is a problem when, what is parliament? When we reach a city, it's a city of parliament because of the houses. But why is it not possible? It's ruled out of order, you'll assist me, it's ruled out of order if you are from NA, you can be found sitting where the NCOP is sitting, or you are from the NCOP, you can go and sit on the other side, get the parliament. So that's why I'm saying this one, we have to work it in a way that we are not subjecting it to any member that might have its own the reflection and perception about it. Otherwise, inconsistency of language will assist all of us because it might end up with unintended consequences that might create problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nambi. I think we have agreed here that the legal experts here must phrase the rules in such a way that there's only one interpretation by way of time frame, by when they get their homework done, by when.
No, Chair. I just think that there are two things. First, you must have clarity of purpose in your mind. What do you want to amend? And what is the politics of it? Then your team then will go, the legal team will go and retract it based on what is the policy that we have to do. I know that for the only reason why the ANC will be calling countries where we sit is that you don't see salvation in our names and everything. They can sit anywhere if that is that available. Because Parliament really meets Parliament. Every member of Parliament can sit anywhere he wants to sit. The only problem that we have to engage members was the thing that I don't want to know. And then the only problem really is a technical issue that we shouldn't cause more problems. But I thought that firstly, the National Assembly is taking a view that the Senior Committee of National Assembly is a Rules Committee.
Yeah.
There is not a committee above the Rules Committee in the National Assembly. I just felt that the Senior Committee in Parliament is a joint Rules Committee.
Mm.
It's a joint Rules Committee. And then the oversight mechanism is a committee that is very senior because it holds officials of parliament accountable. The speaker, the national chairperson, the deputy chairperson, and the deputy speaker, and any other person who's running the show, they hold accountable in the execution of the truth as far as financial management is concerned. How they put Marina, a committee like that can't sit, because yeah, I know the National Assembly, the view that we have expressed is still an option. That no committee starts unless a committee found itself in the correct situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we know again that members are late, therefore cannot start. But the joint committees can't start when Julian Yami are there, the meeting starts. Because then it can cause problems completely in terms of decision-making mechanism. The reason why you want a committee to study, even if there's no quorum, is that no one should be delayed by other colleagues who are not at the meeting. But you can't take a decision when there's no quorum. But there's no harm for colleagues, even if there are two, Mashile and Nandi. Two of them having a discussion in a meeting, assisted by officials, where a quorum is made, they present that for consideration by the meeting. There will be no harm in doing that. But you must draw a distinction between ordinary portfolio committees of parliament or national assembly and so on, and committees that are designed by acts of law.
Mm-hmm.
That it can't be right, I guess, colleagues, to have committees that are designed by acts of law. Not to have a requirement for a minimum quorum for it to start. There will be absolutely, Marina, no reason if the committee of 27. It can't be right that 12 people come there, they discuss everything, the meeting starts, and therefore, it can't be right that it does so.
Okay.
I would have thought that minimum thing that is always required, even in the most undemocratic countries, is the one-third of members present in the meeting starts. When a decision has to be pronounced, 50 plus 1% of members of that committee can take a decision. It just must give some honor and respect for joint committees of parliament. The membership of committees of parliament, Marine, that we have been raising this thing, that they have been raised that they are too unwieldy.
Yes.
Sometimes they are too big. And as a result of that, the quorum issue becomes a bigger problem. It's an area that we must reconsider completely. How do you want to make sure the machinery in the West makes it easy for members to take decisions in not unwieldy committees that are too huge. In fact, some of them, anyway, I'm told that they are almost like the former problem committees.
Yes,
large numbers of people, they can't come to meetings, not because they are responsible, because there are other commitments for them. But I want to add to a point, though, that the oversight mechanism on the functioning and budget of parliament to be a committee that is taken by the Syria.
Correct.
Can't judge a general committee like culture, portfolio committee, or sport portfolio committee. The committee that is a very senior committee must be given that it can't just take decision without start a meeting, without the one-third of its members. I think we should repeat that. It's the prime minimum. Then you take a decision at 50 plus 1, that's the one. But I'm saying this about not knowing how big is this committee. It's not existing right now. It's something that we have to establish. One, these rules are adopted by two houses. But you must also say that it's a very serious committee. Surely a committee where the officials, the speaker, the deputy that comes there to account more or less on the financial management issues, surely it must be a senior committee enough that we are all of us know that. they will do all that. But Marina, you wanted to make a point? She's a very manful, is that? 21 years of experience. To the sisters who shape the rules, the manner that make it work. We have learned now that big communities don't work. We have learned that big communities don't work. Because they don't concord. Sometimes the committee is missing, and Yami is in Moscow. And then, it doesn't, no, not me. I was in Bukhara.
Oh.
And the point though that I'm saying that must avoid doing that. Then from my experience, what is it working in Parliament? And then based on that, then we can do that. The reason why we dropped the question in the National Assembly of meeting had been with the Corps. Well, that member, sometimes they serve in more than one committee, sometimes they meet spontaneously. They make it difficult to work for a forum. But this one, I guess, is a senior committee, it's not a portfolio committee. It doesn't meet every week, every month. It only meet when it's necessary for them to take decisions. Therefore, the forum of this committee can't be as usual as other forum of this one. I don't think the national court will reject that. Anyway, we are allowed to design our own internal mechanisms. Unless, of course, we overlook the constitutional requirements on this. I don't think the constitution says how you structure our committee. I don't think it says that. Marina, let us close the mic.
Can I just put the second question of, do we keep the fact that this committee won't prescribe a number to the Joint Rules Committee with the private authority to serve the Commons, how big the committee will be? Then the quorum, we will adjust the quorum not to reflect proponents, but to say that a third of all members of the committee must be present before the committee can start. And in the seventh, we could copy Rule 23103, which is the Constitutional Review Committee's decision that it says the question before the Constitutional Review Committee is decided when there's agreement on the question among the majority of its members.
Yeah.
So can we copy that one in and make some of for this committee? Because then we do a one of the component issue and we say that the decision is taken by majority of the members. So all we have to go back to I'm sorry, would you also like us to provide in this committee for alternatives?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we can also yeah, I mean, like, can we just copy the general rule that is
there for the committee? My view, though, Madam, I want to pursue the committee. Senior committees like that, they don't meet, they need one at a quarter. You may not be struggling that portfolio committees the whole time. These are committee of joint houses. Majority of members of that committee start the meeting. I think what we should do, the alternate issue, to me would be a bigger problem though. Let us leave it without alternate. And then this machine is Nyandi, is advocate, they sit there. Domo Sekaula, they sit there, take this issue. And then they meet once in 2 months, sometimes once 6 months, whatever that. But it's not a committee to realize it's going to overseeing the operational planning daily. Is the government that will be the strategy of Parliament is going to be presented to the committee, the idea is presented to the committee, they look at it, annual performance plan is presented to them. I don't see them really meeting every month, generally speaking. I think we should leave it that way. And then, of course, we can also have a cadet there that says, if of course an episode, I think the joint group can take a decision. Those other members may disappear, then we add other members, they can have a process on that. I think that it's a senior committee enough to allow other closing members to be part of it.
I think it was ready before you, honourable member. Have you waived your right to speak?
No, no. I just wanted to have clarity. I understand that Marina has said that she thought it would be wise for the joint rules committee to determine the time. On the other hand, sometimes when a new parliament is established and the joint, you know, then they wonder how big it must be, etc. Should we not use the same size as Constitutional Review Committee? For instance, I should frame that question. Secondly, if you look at the decision-making in terms of 103, it means that if the composition of the Constitutional Review Committee is 23 members, it means obviously that it must be 11 members before a decision is taken. And then, because it's the majority of the members, there must then be 11 members, 12, whatever, yeah, 12 members present. But the point is then that then it's fine, because if we look at the, again, at what the Constitution stipulates for bills, it must be a minimum of 50% of the members present in the House, and the majority of them then take the resolution. So then we're fine in terms of decision making. Chair, can I just understand one other matter that you have referred to? You said this is a very clear, this is a senior committee, and that you feel though that there should not be alternates. Can you recall that we discussed this matter during the deliberations of the rules as well? That we were doing away with pulling in members from the passage, that there should be formal alternates that are APC, so that alternates can keep abreast of what is happening, and that, so is it wise to not make provision for alternates? I think what we could perhaps say is that the number of alternates could be determined by the Joint Rules Committee. Just to make sure that we don't do away with that entirely, I was just wondering if you would not support such an idea.
But you have to apply your mind more strongly, Chair, because if you say in terms of functions and powers, that number three, the Job Standing Committee has a general power provided for in Joint Rule 32. And if you look at those Joint Rules, they go too much bigger, you see. And then it tempers one with what you term a senior committee of this nature that they've required. Because the power provided in general powers at number 32 goes all over, and they demand quite a lot of attention, and they will be able to determine even the size of the committee itself. It can't be as easy as putting it. One of the issues in order to show the type of powers that they are having in this particular committee. So that 32 is really making a very enormous committee. That would need a lot. You would need personnel that would be very helpful in that particular committee. But it goes from 20 to 31. It's quite a lot of power dedicated to that side of the committee. It goes beyond budgetary issues.
I would depend with this to really agree with the view that all of the governors said on the issue of all time. Especially on the basis of continuity of members to participate in that particular thing, so that they don't lose some of the previous debate when they have to consider it. Because surely that if a committee sees one thing very much, and then if you miss one month, then that means you find yourself in the next 6 months, after the end of 6 months. So it will be problematic for people to meet at the meeting and be replaced by an alternate. And then when you come back at the end of 9 months, sure you can't participate in that meeting. You really can't participate. You definitely hear the baggage, definitely present how far they move to the other. Then become easier. Of course, that the proposal that we have examined now from Honorable also may make sense that either we modify establishment rules, provide for two alternates from the NCOP and the NA that they can attend the meetings continuously, even though that they may not be able to vote. Then it may have been that when the main members are not in, then there is no gap. There is no gap. But if we put alternates as we know them, that they will not attend unless a member is not here, that's not going to assist. That's not going to assist. And I think that was my contribution. And of course, the new proposal that will come now on the operation of the committee, I think I welcome that.
The spirit
the spirit of seniority, commitment, etc., provided the processes are not manipulated. Provided the processes are not manipulated. I feel someone will ask this. Thank you.
I just forgot what I said to say. I just wanted to indicate as well that when it comes to the numbers of the membership, if you sell on the joint committee, we are limited by the membership of the association. Because almost all the 9 provinces have been represented. I think when we are dealing with the joint committee on ethics, and then we have to reduce it from a very big number, we ended up on 23. And the argument that we had was that the SOP cannot be represented by the Dalai. Because the delegations that are sitting there, they are coming from provinces to the province. That was the argument that was able to. That's why we ended up on 23. Unless there is something that changes, as I said. So the we need to put that up to them, just a lot of flags on that.
Are you
a
listener? Yeah.
Okay, I want to express myself on a JP component as well as my HP colleagues, because they will need to do that. And the other component is already decided once the HP component is decided. Can I just point out that unless the rules for a specific committee rules for a specific committee determined otherwise, the rules applicable to joint committees generally will apply to the committee. Now the rules that apply to joint committees generally already provide for alternatives.
Mm.
Unless we want to exclude alternatives, it's not really necessary to include a rule on that. And for example, the decision making, if we will have to specify the decision making if we want to be for it to be different to the general rules. And the general rules provide for components. So we now agree that we'll do have a constitutional review. Again, I just want to, I'd like to understand in terms of the condition whether the subcommittee wants to draft the rule, are we going to prescribe to guidelines or something for the joint rules committee when they make decision, or say there will be a number in the liaison with ethics and the other committees in the rules. Because we found generally, because the composition of a parliament changes as the terms are, you know, for each different term, generally, particularly in the NA, it's easier for the joint rules committee. They then take a decision based on the composition of that particular parliament on what the components of the NA will look like in terms of party representation, and then it's usually easier because they represent provinces in a particular joint committee. But as I leave that to my HFP comes to the clarity.
Of the NCP that is composed of provinces and therefore is
membership in joint committee, we will also mirror that position or mirror a component of the NCFP committee. In particular, we have joint rules 19 that talks to them. Unless, of course, there is 8 year position by this committee to then provide for a particular number of NCOP components to that committee. But in the absence of any then the joint or the committee is being identified, that component should also be in terms of the joint
committee. I think because we didn't request colleagues to apply for leave of absence from their caucuses. I think in the next meeting we should do so. Because we can't meet at 7, but we'll arrive at about 8 and 9. We should just do that, because otherwise it won't work. This will completely won't work. And I want the chair to make a point. That's my understanding is that he accepted the proposed amendment by the chair that worked before. We are acting on some issues, Marina, that we have identified. Therefore, that we are going to sit down, rework it according to what we have discussed, and present it to the colleagues who are here. In the next meeting, we confirm it, and we move to the next item. I think we should do so. And I think the NCOP now is very clear that then we won't have a summit of 20 members. And those things haven't worked. Then the committee, depending on what the joint rules committee decides. I think that would be very fine. But what I mean is the general rule also wouldn't cause problems to leave the general rule to apply in all committees unless we don't want the competition. I think we should do so. But my understanding is that we accept these proposals and the written amendment that we have put on them. And then we are sure, and it's in terms of the joint mechanism is given to us by the little report. But the other issue that though we should be doing, I think the team then will sit down and even the team, just design a offer for a committee, for members to know when are we meeting. Because unless we decide to do that, we won't have any street completions. If we meet through chances or caucuses, I think it will be a problem. Surely there's no parties as far as I know that will just allow members to come into work for parliament. There's no party that will do so. And I think we should do that, colleagues. Because we have left a lot of work in terms of our agenda. And this work is going to be taking a lot of time on our side. And then because we still have to deal with item number 4, discussion on the way forward on the state of legacy issues. If joint committees, then committee on defense, function and power of the personal review committees, interim report on scrutiny and delegated, I think a lot of them also. There's a deep level of respect to this committee, if I remember correctly. That there's a joint committee issue, joint decisions. That is a rule that we have to design around the state of the nation address. And then what happened is that we nearly amended the rules, but we thought that we shouldn't do that. That's why we waited for this to work. I think Marino must cover all those areas. When we meet next meeting, whatever time, all the matters that we have been referred to us already, I tried it on because they must be felt through it. Because they are joint sitting, like we said, they must tighten the rules on joint sitting. That's what the state of the nation has right. The rule has prepared. But we wouldn't do anything, we wouldn't make like this approval. Let us bring it back everything that is left there, because then we can design our program of action based on the volume of work that is before us. And if the team that is supporting us can do that, you know, and then we have to present the draft proper, because Coach must then close some of the data for this meeting. And then surely if we knew today that we're going to be in a substantive issue, we should have applied from political parties to allow members to be here until the decision is true. But we didn't do that, therefore we are unfair to detain colleagues like this. Chair, I think if we can adjourn the meeting because we have agreed already on this issue of all of that is to define that. But we wanted to make a good name.
I propose that you work try to deal with the board house to understand the problem, because I'm aware the 19th in the NCO that we have to start for the city on the 19th. So if you might not be aware, there's a new problem. Yeah.
Okay. No, because I think what we should do, the team is going to work out the case, and then they will present that in our next committee meeting. Not that how we are almost addressing you, because I'm supposed to have a meeting yourself. Can we agree that anything is that change? Then in our next meeting, we're going to be notified, and then on time, and then sit down and work. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you, Chairperson.